Lifestyle podcast from the ballerlifestyle.com, episode 133 of the show. I'm pretty sure we were gone. I didn't post a podcast for 1 week. And I was getting tweets like, what happened to the podcast? Also, by the way, if you're team current episode, I told you I was going to be gone for a couple of weeks. Like I mentioned that I'd be leaving. So I think it was only 1 week. Anyway, we're back. Episode 133. I was traveling. Both of us, both Ed Daly and myself, were away, sort of at staggered periods. I've just flown from many, many time zones away, and I feel like hell. I feel like actual hell. It's weird with jet lag, because with jet lag, all you fucking want to do is go to sleep. And then as soon as you go to sleep, you're wide awake. And so I've been dealing with that for a couple of days. Hopefully I'm going to go to bed as soon as I'm done recording this, and hopefully I'll be better tomorrow. Email mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. You guys reach out, talk to us. Don't say, what happened to the podcast? I mean, it's just 1 week. You only missed it for a week. Reach out via voicemail so I can hear you say, what happened to the podcast? 949-464-TBLS. Like our Facebook page, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave comments. Leave ratings there. That is helpful to us. And what's even more helpful to us is Patreon.com, where you can go, Patreon.com/TheBallerLifestyle, go and make a financial contribution to the show. There, joining me now, it's been so long since we've spoken. Of course, I'm talking about Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Doing well. First off, congratulations on your big moment in Bali.
Oh, thanks.
I was wondering, what's the food situation there? Is that just Southeast Asian kind of spicy stuff? Like, what's doing in?
Yeah, Indonesian food is kind of like that. It's kind of like, you know, like fried rice and noodles and stuff.
Thai-ish?
Yeah, sort of, but not really. Not so much Thai. Not like, I mean, it is spicy like Thai, but not sort of. I don't know. I didn't eat all that much Indonesian food because in Bali's so sort of. Yeah, there's like lots and lots of all sorts of different kinds of restaurants.
Cool.
But yeah, sort of, you know, it's like Asian food. It's good.
Cool. Well, I've got a couple things to discuss. First,
okay, let's get into
first,
it. Yeah.
Let's give a rip to Gene Wilder. Awesome.
R.I.P.
Awesome resume. And maybe I heard this a long time ago, but I read that he actually outlined Young Frankenstein and gave it to Mel Brooks, and then Mel Brooks turned it into a full script. So he was awesome.
Yeah, total genius, hilarious, like always super funny. He was one of those guys that really was married to that one look.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he had that crazy hair, and even when he got old, he had to try to keep that crazy hair going.
Yeah, when the hair gets white and like really thins out, you can't go with the mad scientist hair.
Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein. Yeah, just awesome. So many good movies. And the guy was just such a stud, like super funny all the time. Just had a real distinct style, comedic timing. He was awesome.
Yeah, he was cool. All right. Well, I wanted to start by saying that, you know, what I like about Friends is breaking balls. And I like to have my own balls broken. And when that doesn't happen, that's what becomes of like Bieber, when somebody can't like call them out on stuff.
Right.
So there was some stuff I learned about you this summer that I felt like, because we weren't doing the show live, you couldn't be, you know, question on it.
Oh, did you?
We got a couple.
Am I the subject of a notes app?
Notes app.
Have you made a note? Have you gone into your notes app and made some notes about me that you want to discuss right now?
Oh, this has actually just been on my mind for like 2 months.
Oh, you memorized it. Okay.
You went to a Cubs game, and you took a picture from the crowd or somebody you were with, and you got tagged in a picture.
You were
shirtless in the crowd.
That's right. Oh, it was so hot. So hot that day.
You don't go shirtless. I'm in the best shape of my life, and I want the world to know it. Like, why why go shirtless in the crowd? No, have some dignity.
I'm not that guy. I'm not best shape of my life guy. Yeah. I mean, I am shirtless guy. I'll own that. I have my shirt off. I'll get my shirt off again.
Nobody
I don't
wants
mind
to, like, brush against your skin. Like, it's a bad thing. Like, in a crowd, no. On the beach, fine. But when you're in tight quarters with people, come on. Not good.
Oh, no. I get my shirt. I'm fine with getting my shirt off at the game. And I welcome you to do it as well.
No.
Anybody that wants to get their shirt off at a ball game.
I don't give a shit what shape you're in, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
No shirts off.
Okay. Let's continue.
Three words. Cool rings guy.
Yeah.
Now
I like to accessorize.
I mean, all this time we've been busting on Johnny Depp. And you're
That's right. You're
Depp 2.0. I wear one ring and it's awful. I mean, rings are the fucking worst. And you're cool rings guy, plural.
Right, multiple.
You're wearing
multiple.
What?
That's right.
Depp 2.0. I mean,
that's right.
Do we? I never really asked. Do you wear scarves and bangle bracelets too?
No bracelets, or scarves. But I'm not ruling
Holy
it out. I also have
cool
a medallion. I've made it known that I have a medallion. You should have assumed the ring should have been assumed when I incorporated the medallion.
When you talk about medallion, I think you're like doing something like joking around one night to for a laugh. I didn't think this was a real thing. Like,
no, the medallion's part of my look. Yes, totally. Continue. This is my favorite subject. Me. So by the way, all of these things that you're making fun of, I love about myself. Continue.
Oh, clearly you love this about yourself because you bragged about being cool rings guy.
That's right. I made an Instagram post about it.
I don't know. As things happen.
Yes.
I have no problem being called out on my own bullshit, but like,
that's right.
This came up like a month and a half ago, and like we weren't doing a live show. I was like, oh shit, I got to try to remember it. But you know what? You can't forget when you think you like somebody, and then you find out they're a cool rings guy.
Well, we're all different. That's what makes us buddies.
Yeah,
like, we're not the same.
Oh, we're certainly not. But the
that's for sure.
The cool rings. I don't know. I just feel like were you like inside cringing when I was making fun of Depp? Like, did you feel like
no.
you know that's your brethren and like you can't
no.
like oh Ed's making fun of the bangle bracelets? Oh, shit, if he can move to the rings, this is really gonna get uncomfortable.
No, I'm okay. Actually, Johnny Depp, he's got a pretty sweet skull ring, but what's annoying is that Iggy Pop and Keith Richards both had skull rings in the 70s.
Sure.
And this Johnny Depp's just ripping off their thing with his skull ring. So, I have not gone full Depp.
But you're just like half Depp.
Yeah. I'm like
you're Depp 0.5. You're Depp 0.5.
That's right.
All right, that's it. You know, this wasn't like just to bash you. There were a couple things that really, to say they were red flag moments would be an understatement.
Yeah, I'm sure it was shocking. It's kind of like the little kid that like finds the garter belt in his dad's sock drawer and realizes he's a cross dresser. Like it's a moment that is a little hard to take. And I'm sorry that you had to find out like this, Ed. But yeah.
Sorry, I had to
I'm
be
cool
this
rings
way.
Guy. Yeah.
I already and knew I'm you were a flat brim guy, which is troubling enough, but I try to move past it. But wow. Yes. The cool rings guy.
Flat brim.
Flat
I like
brim
how
guy.
Every time I like how every time my special lady posts a picture of me on the internet, which is way too often, people like shame me that I wear my hat improperly. I wear my hat how it comes from the store. I take my hat from the store and I put it on my head.
Do you leave the tags on all your clothes?
No, I do not do that.
Right. So you understand that it's sometimes it's good to, you know, break it in a little bit.
Yeah, I break it in by wearing it. Just, it's fine. It's fine the way it comes. I like it that way. Okay. Do you have any more? Do you want to bust my balls anymore?
I've already moved past the flat brim guy. Has been a thing for a while. It's just cool rings guy. I mean,
it's tough for you to take. I know.
We can just call you rings guy because we know it's not cool rings.
Right. Well, I didn't make up the cool rings part. That somebody else said that about me. Now, I have to ask, like, if someday you and I are in the bleachers together, and we're sitting there, maybe you're turned – I'm sitting on your left and you're turned talking to somebody on your right, mm-hmm. and you turn back and I have removed my shirt.
Up and out.
What?
Up and out. What?
You're just leaving.
Yeah, I'm just walking. I'm fucking like Bigfoot in that footage. You just see my arms swinging, and I'm out. I'm fucking out.
Out of there.
Into the abyss. Nobody sees me again. I just walk.
Like, I'm not super in shape guy. I'm certainly not trying to show off my physique. You realize that, right?
I don't know what was going on. I just know I've been in hot places in the best shape of my life and the worst shape of my life, and the shirt stays on no matter what. And I get hotter than fuck. I fucking hate the summer, but the shirt stays on.
What about now? Occasionally, Ed, I'll wear like a floral or maybe just a plaid shirt, just a regular button up shirt.
You're like an unbutton down guy too.
Yeah. If it's warm,
you play it loose with the buttons.
That's right. That's right. Would that also be an issue? That's not as bad as removing the shirt.
I'm just saying, if it were one of my buddies that I was like hanging out with at the bar, the topic of conversation the entire time we were at the bar would be about how the buttons are too far down.
Yes.
It would be like, what's going on here? What's going on? Are you part of the Llamas family? Like, who fucking keeps the button down so far?
I will say that on more than one occasion, people have said to me, "Hey, you know, there's more buttons on that shirt, right?"
No, I wouldn't. So, I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't like hide it in some sad joke. I would just say flat out, "Like, there's something wrong here."
Yes, what's going on?
But then I'm just thinking about buttons. I've seen you go like the other way too. You go top button.
That's true. That's absolutely like when I'm wearing a polo.
Yeah, like you go golfing with top button, and to me, I mean, fine. That's better than going too far low, too far unbuttoned.
Right. Yeah.
But the comfort level, I feel like they don't make those shirts correctly for necks to be buttoned all the way up. Polo shirts get a little snug up top.
They can, I got a full size. I don't have a pencil neck exactly, but I wear the softer shirts. It's fine. I like when I'm golfing or just wearing a polo like that. I like to
that's
get all the buttons
that's
done.
That's fine. That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, it's my style.
Yeah, sure. Those are mine. Sure. Good for you.
Have a look. Yeah. Have a look. Do you want to briefly discuss this Colin Kaepernick thing?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to go first? You want me to go? I have a problem with the whole fucking production of the Star Spangled Banner. Like, it's become this big fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's been it for a while, but like, there was some, girl in the Olympics, they gave her shit for not having her hand over her heart. Like, this is not the fucking Soviet Union. Like, we don't have to stand at attention for everything. Like, fuck. And like, this guy, I don't know if this is the right, if this is the exact way that he's going to get his point across, but like this whole idea of love it or leave it is fucking garbage. Like, the reason why America is great is because like, it's just an evolving place. And like, I don't, this guy's got issues that like, nobody can say that that race is fine and it's handled perfectly in America. So he wants to call attention to race in general. I mean, it's a weird kind of amorphous statement he's made. And then, like, he sort of Taylor makes it to the police, but it's, you know, he just said race in general. It's like, all right, well, people are talking about race, to talking about relations, and I just, people are, like, this love it or leave it thing is fucking garbage. And, like, by him sitting on the bench means nothing to, you know, the troops. Like, the troops, that has nothing to do with supporting the troops. It's about, you know, America is not fucking perfect. Whether it's the best country or, you know, the your most favorite place to live, it's certainly not fucking perfect. And anybody who says that is a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's one of those things where we all have, everyone's experience is their own. And I don't know what it's like to walk in Colin Kaepernick's shoes, but I'm pretty happy to live in a place where he can express his opinions in any fucking way he wants. And I don't give a fuck if he salutes the flag or stands or sits or does a handstand, because it's up to him what he wants to do. And I don't get the whole, you know, I need to be mad at him because he's disrespecting the flag or what. No, he's not. He's just sitting there.
Or disqualifying his because he's rich or something.
I hate that.
Right. He can, I mean, good for him. He's taking a stand and he's actually famous. Yeah. Joe the fucking car washer does it. Nobody notices.
And these shitheads that burn their Colin Kaepernick jerseys, right, they're to make some sort of statement. Yeah, here's the statement you're making. I own a Colin Kaepernick jersey.
Well, just the burning of jerseys, like, I mean, fuck you. This guy, yeah, like, he brought you to the Super Bowl. Like, he didn't – whether his production has declined, like, at one point – I mean, I remember seeing a whole thing when Jets fans started turning on Sanchez, and he brought him to two AFC championship games.
Totally.
Like, nobody else has done that since. Like, fuck you, burning jerseys. Yeah. What is this, Nazi Germany? Burn things. Throw it out if you don't want it. Give it to you know, the homeless.
Right. Also, those things are made of, those are like non-organic fibers, not easily burned, not the fumes, like whatever fumes are coming off that jersey, not healthy,
yeah,
toxic.
Hopefully they're standing close to the bonfire and they get popcorn lung from it.
Yeah. So not only are you someone that owns a Colin Kaepernick jersey, now you're someone that's inhaling toxic fumes because you owned a Colin Kaepernick jersey.
Right.
I just don't get what the big deal is. I also like that it was the third preseason game and he'd been sitting for every one so far, and that it took him to the, and it wasn't like he made a big production of it. He just didn't get up.
Right.
He just sat there.
But you know, they questioned on him, and he had, whether or not you agree with it, he had a well thought out reasoning and everything. Like he thought about this. He's, you know, I read somewhere, and I totally agree, we want athletes to, like, not be robots, like Derek Jeter. We want them to, like, give opinions and stuff. And then once they do, everybody's like, whoa, like, let him have his view. And if you agree or disagree, that's one thing. But, like, fuck, people with the love it or leave it, get the fuck out of here.
It's so crazy that when these athletes have, it's almost like because they earn a paycheck or because they're gifted with the skills to play a sport, that it's offensive to people if they have an opinion. There's the quarterback at UCLA.
The Chosen Rosen.
Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a knucklehead. He's outspoken. He's actually got some good ideas. But I was talking to some guys the other day, and they're, like, legitimately, like, disgusted that he is a young guy that's got some opinions, and because they're different than these people's opinions, they're annoyed, and they just want him to shut the fuck up.
And people say stuff like, well, you know, I wish he just focused on football. Like,
right.
Like, he's only got, like, fly patterns going in his head. Like, he can't think about Trump or anything. He's got
to think
about slants and post routes.
As though having thoughts of, like, no one says, oh, this Peyton Manning, he owns all these Papa Johns. Maybe he should just concentrate on football. Like, it's not, it's just they want to pick the guy that they disagree with, and then they want to single out the things that he does that make him less than in their opinion. And it's fucking stupid.
Right.
Like, These guys are just athletes, and they're also human beings. So yeah, I don't give a shit. Like, stand, don't stand. Right. It has nothing. You're not standing for the national anthem does not mean fuck the troops. And maybe if we all sat down and had a bit of discussion, we wouldn't. If we really cared that much about our troops, we would find a way not to put them in harm's way for no reason.
Yeah,
because that's really caring about the troops.
And I read somebody else had a good quote. They said, people are furious for him exercising his First Amendment, but if he showed up with the Second Amendment, he'd showed up with a gun, people would be all right. Well, he has a right to have the gun.
That's unfortunately, he's a black guy. As soon as black guys
he's already dead.
Start exercising their Second Amendment rights en masse.
Right.
We're going to have a whole different discussion about the Second Amendment.
Exactly.
Guaranteed. Okay, let's check in with our emailers.
Yes,
Ed.
We should.
First email. Hello, ballers. Just sitting here watching all the niche sports on the Olympics while rooting against the U.S. in men's basketball after following some weirdo home in a convertible. Just then, I don't.
Why is he? Why is he watching the Olympics in the car? I mean, that's.
Yes.
I mean, I appreciate the Olympic following because I love the Olympics, but that seems like a bad place to be following it.
Are you like me? Are you terrified of doing anything on your phone when you're not in Wi-Fi because you're worried you're going to use too much data?
I am grandfathered into the unlimited.
Unlimited? You son of a bitch.
And so I am AT&T for life with that one. But,
yeah,
but
you son of a bitch.
When I'm in London, with unlimited, I never realize how much I'm actually using. And when I go to London, yeah, I have to spend like an extra 100, 120 bucks a month for like 700 megabytes of data. And that goes by in a heartbeat.
Quick.
So I am paranoid when I'm in London. But yeah, at home, I'm not.
Yeah, when I went to Indo, I had to add the international roaming, but then I immediately went into my settings and turned off all the roaming. And,
yes,
you know, so
yes,
that I would just turn it on when I, you know, if I needed it.
Like if you but need, everyone, if you're stuck and you need like maps or something.
Right.
Right. Google
right.
Maps.
Which is, yeah, or just to make a call or what. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's exactly how I used it because I'm very paranoid. Okay. Just sitting here watching all the niche sports on the Olympics while rooting against the U.S. in men's basketball. I think they won. I have nothing. You're gonna give me an update on the Olympics.
Though. I watched like, no joke, I probably watched 50 hours of the Olympics. And
did you really?
Yeah, like in the morning I watched an hour or so, and then when I went out to pubs and stuff, it was on.
Yeah.
But I watched 0 minutes of Olympic basketball.
Good for you, hero. Just then I remembered that Brian is the one person that knows what's good for the look. That's actually, we determined that earlier on the show. That's right.
I think we determined something.
So I offer you Beckner's choice. Which vehicle would be the worst for your look? Being hashtag hetero, I'd never associate with anyone driving the following obs. The three choices are Mazda Miata, PT Cruiser Convertible, VW Cabriolet. This is definitely not as good as Daily's choice, by the way. Those are all bad cars, but of course the PT Cruiser is the worst vehicle made. I don't know if it's still made.
It's like that funky-looking one, right?
Yeah, it's like kind of supposed to look like an old-time wagon.
Yeah.
They're really hideous.
I used to work with a guy who drove an electric blue Miata.
No.
Oh really? Yeah, it was troublesome.
So, but was it a problem because he couldn't get the wife and kids in there? Like he got.
I mean, this is another horrible twist. He got married. I left the company I was working when I was working with him, and we were both on our honeymoon. And I'm at the buffet line, like breakfast buffet in Hawaii, and this guy just taps me on the shoulder and talks until my food's cold, and I just fucking put it on the table and then had to start again.
You guys honeymooned together?
That was the problem. I was like, I said to Michelle, I was like, I know you wanted to hang out by the pool here, but we're going to have to just like go elsewhere on the island because I'm not fucking talking to this guy.
No, he drives a Miata. Look, okay, now I'm going to take my evening shower like adults do. Yeah, that's what I do. And thanks for blocking emails from Memphis. That's from Chris in Maryland.
We know who that's from. He loves taking a pot shot at Memphis. I will say, that we don't block emails from Memphis.
No, absolutely not.
And also, goddamn, the ribs in Memphis are just every time I hear the name Memphis, the city, I think about those ribs, Rendezvous ribs.
Oh, I've never been to Memphis, but I would like to go and eat the ribs.
Best.
I would like to do like a barbecue tour. Just book like a week and just bounce around the different barbecues in the country.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Texas is so good.
Missouri,
Memphis has
St.
good.
Louis.
You know, the North Carolina. Carolina is very vinegary. And I don't know. And I think, isn't Missouri like very saucy?
Yeah, they're very saucy. Texas is like no sauce.
Yeah, you go down by Austin. There's some great spots down there. And Memphis is the dry rub. Very good.
I like a dry rub. I think North Carolina has the mustard sauce, though,
that,
which I enjoy.
That is actually pretty good.
I do like a mustard sauce. Okay. Hi, guys. I was just wondering why there are so many black NFL players with Spanish first names. Antonio, Santonio. I don't believe Santonio is a Spanish. That's not even a name.
Yeah, that's just kind of a creation.
Right. Mario, Javier, Carlos, etc. Thank you, Drew in West LA. I don't know what I've never thought about that. I don't know if that's racist or not. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that question, Ed.
I would think there's two reasons. One, because they can pull it off. Right?
Totally.
You see a white guy calling himself Javier. You're thinking this guy took his study abroad semester in Sevilla too seriously. But
yes.
If you a black guy, it just works. Like, black guys can pull shit off. Black guys can dance. You see a white guy dancing really hard and you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
So, well, black guys are cool.
Yeah, they are. And it's like America is just the white man's game. Like, it's been for 240 years. It's just been,
it's
like,
true.
White people and everybody else, like, see if you can get your piece. But it's all about the white people. So, maybe, you know, they might be taking some Spanish names, but, like, it's pretty much white people against everyone in America. So, like, they're allowed to take the names. White people are not allowed to take the names.
I'm more interested with the what do you call it? The Caribbean players with the because of the Soviet influence
what?
Having the there's like all sorts of Yuris
in the
but in the Dominican and in Cuba who's the guy that played for the Angels, he's the MVP,
Vladimir Guerrero. That's true. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, you see, you're always like, wait, hold on. That guy's Dominican. He's called Vladimir. And there's all sorts of Yuris. And there's all you, they'll pop up. You'll see that. And you're like, wait, this guy's from Cuba. But it's the Soviet influence. That's how they get those names.
That is pretty impressive. I never even thought about that. One thing that I'll tell you, it gave me nightmares. One time, I feel like it was
that picture of me without my shirt.
I was in an airport one time. And I heard an Asian dude speaking with a Jamaican accent. And it just...
What?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing.
Shut up.
Like, I guess he lived in Jamaica. Maybe he grew up there. I don't know what was going on. Right. But, like, it just try to wrap your mind around that.
It's I can't do it.
It's
I can't
crazy.
Picture it. It's impossible. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, last email. Ballers, welcome back. Now that the cast is back, when do we finally get to taking back the term smoke show and start embracing it? Smiles, your dear friend. I will never embrace that term. I hate that.
Until you told me about it, I've never
heard. Never heard of it.
I've heard of smoking, but smoke show.
Yeah, she's smoking. She's a real smoke show.
Smoke show sounds like, you know what that sounds like? Like the dad that like pulls up a chair when like the teenage kids are hanging out.
Yes.
And, like tries to hang out with the boys.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like,
hey guys,
and he turns the chair backwards.
Smoke?
He turns the chair backwards.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the haps, guys?
It's he's this dad that, you know, he'll say, hey, isn't she foxy?
She's
that kind
she's really built.
Yes, built. Okay, Ed. I I was gone. I was away. You watched 50 hours of Olympics. Also, where I was, the Olympics weren't on TV.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of Bali, Indonesian representatives there.
Right. So there's no – I was shocked. I did see the final medal count. And out of nowhere, Great Britain, second in the medals. Well, shocking.
I can tell you what happened. And this is you know, why America is, you know, per capita, doesn't do – that well. It's because, like, we don't have like a centralized, we have like an Olympic committee, but it's not like an organized thing,
not like China and Russia.
They have, but England, I think they did terrible, let's say 12 years ago, like terrible, like really bad. And so they made a commitment and they're like, all right, you know what, like, we are going to have a, you know, Olympic czar, whatever they call it. And like, they specifically targeted people to excel at cycling and rowing and all these sports. And they, I mean, rowing, there's like 50 medals in rowing. So like between that and cycling, they like rigged the system. But I think because they were given the London Olympics in 2012, they like set it all up so they would be doing well then. And then the programs continued. In America, it's like, well, fuck that. I'm going to go play college basketball or college football or a million other sports. So yeah. It's like, you know, Jamaica, you're the best athlete there. You're sprinting. Here,
right.
It's like, yeah. You know, sprinting is like 12th on the list.
Do they still trot Linford Christie out there? Is Linford Christie still? Was he in a heat race at all in the 100 meters?
And one other thing. So I got back with like a couple days left in the Olympics and watched the NBC version, which was an abomination. You just watch Americans, and you only watch, like, let's say, I think it was like high jump or something like that. Yeah. And you only saw the winning jump, even if it was an American or a pole vault. You just saw the winning, and that was it. And it was just like prepackaged bits and everything. BBC... Yes, they have no commercials, so they don't have to like worry about advertisers and stuff.
That's great.
But they have a channel. You turn it, like BBC One or whatever. You turn it on, and it's just track and field for the day, and it's everything going on all the time. And if you don't like that sport, you press this red button on the remote that everyone has to have, and it's like, I would like to watch handball. I would like to watch taekwondo or judo, and like, you just and. There's no, and like, if they don't have enough commentators, they just don't speak. It's just, you just listen to the crowd and watch it. So, yeah, I could see why people find the American version a real drag, because it's a lot of Costas, a lot of prepackaged bits. Like, I just like vignettes. Watching people doing shit.
Me too. Yeah. Handball's great.
Oh.
Now, that's a sport that's, I could get into.
But that's a sport. Can you imagine if America said, you know what? We're going to take like every college basketball player that doesn't go to the NBA and turn them into handball players, we would win a million to nothing.
Now, the Olympics, it's probably like the Guinness Book of World Records. Like, you could probably find a sport and just go, okay, we're going to win that. In 8 years, we're going to win that. And you just comb the country and you find the right person. Like, there's enough sports in the Olympics that if you concentrated on just one – you could win it.
Yeah, right. There are definite sports, and the best is the Winter Olympics, where America, like, I don't know, they're just like, you know what, we're not winning enough. We're not that into skiing. Let's just have Shaun White like win like 12 gold medals each year.
Yeah, and you know how I feel about that. I don't want, now the next Olympics are going to have skateboarding and surfing. Like, I don't need that in the Olympics.
Right. They added this year BMX bikes.
I saw that, and I was like, is this real? No, I don't need that BMX.
But I got to say, you know, and one thing, so a few weeks before the Olympics, they had like an anniversary games at the London Olympic Stadium, and I saw Bolt run, and that's still, even for a race that didn't mean shit, that is a pretty exciting thing. Bolt is the best.
He's unbelievable.
It's so much fun to watch that guy run.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he did some other things. Ed, okay. What else do we need to know? What happened at the Olympics?
The major bullet points, the Ryan Lochte controversy.
Okay. I read an entire article. I'm like, I heard people talking about this Ryan Lochte thing. And I wasn't paying attention to it because I don't care. But then I was like, people wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. And I'm like, okay, so he made a false police report. And then there was something like on Slate or something. And it's like, everything you need to know about the Ryan Lochte situation. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to have it. I'll just read this and I'll know. And then I read it and I still don't understand.
Well, one morning – I remember reading in the reading like the next morning it said something like Ryan Lochte was held up at gunpoint.
Yep.
He gave an interview and immediately it seemed fishy because he said the guy put the gun to my forehead. The other guys got down and I said, whatever, bro.
Right.
So now you're
which
like,
is what you do when a crazy
Brazilian has a gun to your forehead.
Yeah.
So then like they poked holes through the whole story. Brazil went crazy finding footage of him like being an asshole at a gas station, and then the other guys crumbled and said, "Oh yeah, we pissed on the wall." But anyway, it became this big thing. He just got the fuck out of town. The other guys were held up at the airport. They were like extorted, like they had to pay money to leave the country, and they filed charges against him. They're like, how dare he say that about the country? The next day, a British athlete had a confirmed gun put in his face, and he was robbed. And they're like, well, we told you, you're not supposed to leave the Olympic compound, and we can't be responsible for your safety there. But Ryan Lochte, and the guy is an asshole. He was a meathead. Yeah. That, you know, shouldn't have been given his own TV show in the first place. He's
not.
A douche. Everything you want to say about him. But, like, let's calm the fuck down on, like, you know, he's some sort of international criminal. Like, he acted like an asshole, got called out on it, and, like, let's end it there. I mean, you know, pay a fine for whatever damage he caused. But, like, they turned it into, like, oh, this guy has lied about our beautiful place. Just ignore the 1,400 other incidents that happened.
Well, yes. Okay. I get all that, and I agree, but explain to me the logic of why he needed to say that he was – like why did it seem more palatable to say that he'd been robbed rather than just say, oh, yeah, we were fucking around and we peed all over a gas station. I don't get why he had to concoct such a cockamamie story.
I think – you know how like – when you're swimming in the pool and you get like water, your ears just waterlogged and you're just not quite right for that day. But this guy's been waterlogged for like 2 decades. So he's just got like half his head is full of chlorine. I think
he's just stupid.
He's like really stupid. Like the stupidest.
He's exceptionally stupid.
Stupider.
And we really dominate swimming like as a country. I'm at the basketball level with it.
Yeah.
Like, if I have to tolerate Michael Phelps forever, I'd rather just be bad at swimming.
On the flight over to Iceland, I read this, like, long feature on Phelps, and I concluded that I wanted him to lose every race and come in last.
Of course.
He's a complete asshole. He's a bad dude.
Also, he's got – something's going on. He's got huge ears. He needs to get his ears pinned back. And something's going on with his jaw. He needs that surgery where they break your jaw and, like, realign it.
Or
– it's because he talks weird?
Yeah.
Or just wire it shut?
Right. But isn't that what PEDs do? They fuck with your jaw? Like, remember Carl Lewis had to get braces when he was, like, 30?
Yeah. Well, that's true. But it's the other way around. It's your head gets bigger, so your teeth get farther apart.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to – brace them together like Barry Bonds had to get braces.
That's right.
But he seems to have the opposite problem where he's got too many teeth or something.
Right.
There's not enough room in that mouth. Also, he no one brings up that thing where he had sex with that tranny.
Well, I mean, we're very transgender friendly country now.
That's right. Well, yes, I guess.
He and Hank Basket are ushering in a new era.
That's right. okay, what else do I need to know
there
about
was
the Olympics?
There was a mountain biking trail that caught fire because there was a huge garbage fire in Brazil.
That's great, but also, I love that, but also, do we need mountain biking in the Olympics? And the answer is no.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. But, you know, the story of the games, I feel like, was Usain Bolt, for the third time, cementing his status as the fastest man ever.
Amazing.
And he to celebrate, and then it was like his birthday the day after he won his third gold medal. Like just everything was lining up. He went out to the clubs and he hooked up with lots of women. including the ex-girlfriend of a deceased Brazilian drug kingpin.
What?
Now, Brian, I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but I can say it. I can't imagine it's even remotely worth it. But what? How good-looking would the woman have to be for you to deal with that kind of baggage? Brazilian like drug Cindy, kingpin in Brazil. It's not like you're doing this in Jamaica, in your home
tour. Like Cindy Crawford circa 1990.
Yeah, it's going to have to be that. But she kind of looks like, she looks like a slightly better version of Michelle Rodriguez.
Right, I saw her. She's a little bit masculine, which might be Usain Bolt's thing. But Usain Bolt is the most layable guy in Rio.
Oh, yeah. I remember when he won in London, like the papers for like 5 days straight were like, oh, he's here with seven members of the Netherlands swim team, and he's here. Like the guy probably used half the Olympic condom supply.
I like that his girlfriend was cheering him on from home, and I think that was the same.
That's the first giveaway that it's not really that good of a relationship.
I think in the last Olympics, he also left his girlfriend at home, which is a pretty, like, king of your castle move, where you're like...
He's like, you know what? It makes me nervous to see you in the crowd. Like, I just want I just want your support back home.
Yeah. Why don't you just hang back and watch it on TV, because I need to focus.
Yeah,
I'm
just going to have a bunch of quiet nights there. I mean, I'm just staying in the Olympic Village. You've heard all the stories about Rio. I'm staying in.
Right. I will not be out at any clubs, that's for sure. Okay, what else?
All right, so, I mean, that's the Olympics. We've talked a lot about the Olympics, but let's move on to it. I have to admit, this sport is a bit of a stretch to call it a sport, because if you can drink and smoke while the sport is happening, I don't know. I mean, you know, I like golf and all, but, like, This is like one step beyond golf, where you can be sitting down, smoking and drinking at the same time, but being part
of it. If drinking improves your ability,
yes,
it's not a sport. Right. So like bowling, pool,
fishing. Okay.
Fishing.
So
okay, calm down.
In the Philippines, a fisherman was forced to abandon his crummy wooden house as it burned to the ground. But first, he took his good luck charm from under his bed. The good luck charm was a 2-foot-long, 75-pound pearl he found while fishing 10 years ago. Now, recent appraisals have the pearl valued at $100 million. So, Brian, the question needs to be asked, is there anyone dumber on Earth than someone who lives in a shack that just burned down yet believes in good luck charms?
I mean, there's no way there's a 75-pound pearl.
Yeah, like, what was that clam?
Yes.
Jesus.
That's like the Popeye clam.
Where he's got to put his legs on either side to keep it open.
Yeah, he was rescuing Shelley Duvall from that thing. Also, it was shocking. Why was Shelley Duvall sold to us back in the 80s? Like, how starved were we for entertainment?
Yeah, that's more egregious than Glenn Close in, what do you call it, the Michael Douglas movie with the rabbit.
Basic Instinct.
No, the other one. Instinct was Sharon Stone.
Oh, no, that's right.
You know, the one where she...
Fatal Attraction.
Glenn Close. he's going to throw it all away for Glenn Close.
That's my number one argument for how much cocaine... Hollywood was doing in the 80s. They tried to sell us Glenn Close as a sex symbol.
Yeah, also Miss Piggy. They did a lot of that in the 80s, too. I'm not sure. Why were we supposed to find her attractive?
The TV was on the other night.
Yeah.
I think it might have been, it was just on. And no one was watching it. You know, something had been on earlier, and the TV was just still on. And something came on with the Muppets. And I was looking at these Muppets, and we were sold such a bill of goods. It's the worst entertainment. It's not something that would ever keep me entertained today as a kid.
I will say, I took my kids, man, it might have been 5 years ago or so. The Jason Segel did a Muppets movie.
The reboot, yeah.
And I thought that was solid. But then there was a sequel, and it was horrendous. I saw it on a plane. It was really bad.
Right. Ed.
What's up?
Real quick, before we continue, I need to talk about Herman Marshall Whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Not a week goes by, Ed, where I don't receive a tweet or an email from people in the Republic of Texas enjoying their Herman Marshall Whiskey. It's like they want to troll me because they know it's not available to me where I am.
Demand's got to be creeping out of the state by now. I mean, we've got to be able to get it in our state soon.
For sure. It's coming. The Baller Lifestyle Podcast loves Herman Marshall Whiskey. I can remember when Texas's own Tito's Vodka was just a niche American vodka. Now, anywhere I order a Bloody Mary, it's the first vodka on offer. Herman Marshall is ready to be the Tito's of whiskey, Ed. The 90 to 100 degree days in Texas, while not your favorite, obviously.
It would be tough for me.
Are loved by your whiskey because it increases the barrel pressure to push the whiskey into and out of the charred wood barrels more often, making your glass of Texas bourbon smoother and more flavorful. See for yourself and grab a bottle of their Texas bourbon, rye, single malt, or Temptress next time you're at a local bar, restaurant, or spirits retailer. Herman Marshall, smooth Texas whiskey.
I've it's been a while, but I think we stand to do a quick true-false game because we're talking about real versus fake. Real.
Yeah, I love these games.
But first, yeah. I want to just a little tip of the cap to our good friend Mike at Herman Marshall.
Oh, did he hook you up?
All right, so he hooked you up. I remember when early in the summer, you mentioned that you had gotten a bottle, and he sent me a message. He said, "I know you're out of the country. Let me know when you'll be back, and I'll hook you up." I told him August 19th, August 20th, at my door is a bottle of Herman Marshall bourbon.
Oh, my God.
The guy's a goddamn saint.
Right. Not only is it a good product, but there's great people behind it.
Yeah, good dude, supporting the show, supporting us. Like, yeah, if you have access to Herman Marshall, you had better support that company.
You should be buying
it's terrific.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
All right, so let's go a little real fake here. True or false, whatever.
Okay.
We'll go to the old standby, the porn parodies.
Oh, I love these.
Okay. The Texas Vibrator Massacre.
Okay. Do I have to guess on each?
No, I'll go through them. You just tell me one of them is false. The rest are true.
One. Only one.
An officer and a gentleman?
Gentleman, okay.
Okay. Kara Loft, womb raider? titty gangbang? John and Kate fuck eight? the Da Vinci load? A tale of two titties? Or the porn identity?
Oh, my God. These are all real. I'm going to say Care-A-Lot Womb Raider. False.
That is true. Care-A-Lot Womb Raider is true. The false one is an officer and a gentleman.
Oh, somebody should make that. Get on that.
I know. It seems like a good Lou Gossett-themed porn.
Totally, yes. Interracial.
Anytime I turn on porn,
military
I'm thinking,
themed.
You know what? I could use some Luke Gossett yelling at me right now. Why don't you go ahead and quit mayonnaise?
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, Ed.
What do we got?
We need to talk about this guy, Christian Fisher. He's a 31-year-old guy, and recently he did something that I don't know if I'm disgusted or in awe of. He walked into a Seattle grocery store and walked up to the self-checkout section. Big fan of the self-checkout section, by the way.
Self-checkout section is a great thing, although sometimes you're like, my local CVS, there's always that light blinking, and somebody has to come over and for no good reason. But yes, in general, we're more skilled at checking out than somebody else is for us.
Occasionally, you do that thing where you lean too hard on the bagging area. The bagging area is very sensitive.
Right. please put your bag, your things, or you have if you have if you just want to carry your own thing, then it's like, yeah, well, put it in the bagging area first.
Right, right. It weighs it there.
Right.
And sometimes you have like a greeting card or something. By the way, I'm out on greeting cards. I'm never buying another greeting card again. I'm fuck big Hallmark. But beyond that, you set the greeting card down and it's not heavy enough. And then it's like, hold on, let me get help. And you're like, fuck, you right. got to wait there forever.
Right. But then you still get to pay like $4.50 for a fucking Valentine's Day card.
Yeah, ridiculous. So this guy, he liked this. This guy, Christian Fisher, he likes the self-checkout as well. And he also likes the bagging area. But first, he walked into the Quality Food Center in Greater Seattle. Great name for a store, by the way.
Yeah, like, really. Very catchy.
Way to sell your groceries. Like, how about like decent car dealership? Or I don't even know. He cruised in. And he decided he was going to scan his dick. So he set his junk on the scanner at the self-checkout terminal and motioned for a female employee to approach the checkout register. And when she did, she saw that his penis was out on the stand. The woman had an overly effusive reaction, apparently. I mean, it's just a dick, lady.
Yeah, I know. No big deal. Let's all calm down here.
And of course, when she freaked out, he started to laugh. He didn't make any attempts to stow his blatantly exposed genitalia. Well, no, I think the whole point was having it out. I don't think stowing was an option for him.
Where this guy differs from you or me. Even if we were – clearly the guy's packing some serious heat, right? You don't do that unless – but
yeah,
if you or I were just trying to go for some reaction – you'd have it out, laugh, and then you'd get the fuck out of there.
Put it back, yeah.
Right? Like, he's just hanging out and, like, won't put it away and laughing. Like, he really is stupid.
Yeah, this is one of these guys that's got his cock out a lot. Eventually, they called a security guard over, and he went and wanted to see what was going on, and he saw that, in fact, Fisher's dick was, quote, resting on top of the scanner.
Still.
So, Ed, two things here. A, wouldn't it be nice to have a dong with enough heft that you could just set it down on things?
Yeah.
And two, do you think Christian was confused and actually thought he was at Rain City Jacks, Seattle's premier masturbation club?
Oh, I love Rain City Jacks.
It's great. It's a great place.
you bring up a good point. I've been to those self-checkouts. Like where the scanner is, you need to. You've got some distance from where like the machine sticks out.
Yeah,
like you have to be packing a good nine or so to get really where the scanner is.
I mean, I'd have to throw a leg up.
Oh,
I'd have to throw a leg up there to get the whole balls and dick on the scanner.
I would have to be straddling the thing like a sit and spin so I could get right in the middle.
Yes.
I just wonder, like so many other criminals, we've big and small. What's the end game here?
Right.
Like you got the reaction, but then you just laugh and high five a buddy or something. Like if that's what you're doing, he stayed there, and presumably, I mean, I think anybody would have to stay at least at a semi for it to just like lay there like that.
Yeah, you need to get some blood into it.
And for her to go get help and then still get caught and the dong is still sitting there. I mean, he must have been really excited. And no,
when
I read the headline, when I saw the headline, I was thinking, did he try to go and put it on the non-self-checkout, but where they weigh the fruits and vegetables? Maybe he was trying to get a weight there. But,
right.
But they don't do that for the self. You can't weigh
it. No. No, I don't think so. Plus a dong. You need one of those fish scales, right, where just so you could sort of separate it from the rest of you.
Right.
Where you kind of dangle it in a thing that hangs above it to just get so that the kind of like a plumb bob where the weight of the dick pulls down a lever, which sort or a wire, which sort of tells you how much it weighs. So this guy didn't have a good plan.
And also, if you're naming your son Christian, you probably had higher hopes than where he is right now.
That's true. That's a good point. Ed, Sean Miller, 31, was arrested on Thursday in South Yarmouth, Massachusetts, after spending 4 months as a fugitive evading drug trafficking charges. Miller was indicted back in April for possession and intent to sell heroin. The police tracked Miller, who also goes by Shiz.
Oh, no. A masshole with his cheesy nickname.
Yeah, to a home in South Yarmouth. They surrounded the place and ordered Miller to come out. The person who emerged from the home appeared at first to be an elderly man. But alas, it ended up just being Miller in a mask. The cops also found 2 loaded guns and $30,000 in cash when they searched the house. He was doing like a Scooby-Doo disguise where he was dressed up like an old man. And so I need
old man Withers.
Right. What's more surprising? That this guy thought he could pull the old Scooby-Doo villain with the old man disguise? That someone with access to 30 large in cash would choose to hide from the cops in his hometown? Or C, that based on the picture included with the story, the old man mask was actually a marked upgrade from this scofflaw's actual appearance?
Yeah, that's it. That old man. It's a reasonable-looking old man.
He looked all right.
The kid looked like very close to Sloth from Goonies.
Yes, he looked like he...
He looks like a Yarmouth mask kind of guy.
Yeah, like maybe some fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah, maybe dropped on his head a couple times.
Yes.
There's some problems. But I've watched plenty. As a kid, I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo. My kids have watched a lot of Scooby-Doo. And every time I think, don't you think they could at least compliment the mask? I mean, some of these masks are really good. Like, they just look like completely different people. And they're never like, whoa, that was a great mask. They're just like, oh, yeah. And they just start yanking at their hair, pull it off. But, like, these are some great masks. And people should really compliment. I mean, this kid, as big of a shithead as he may be,
he had a great mask.
Great mask.
And, you know, I figured we'd be farther along in mask technology by now.
Like, you were thinking Total Recall action?
Right. Mostly it's just weird-looking makeup. It's usually just someone looking really weird, and you can tell they're wearing a mask. But this guy's was okay. Not bad. Better than his regular face.
I don't know if I've seen it all the way through, but I did enjoy that Johnny Knoxville where he's the old man.
I heard that's good. You know, I haven't seen it.
Good, he like shits himself in a Denny's. Like, there's just funny old man things that it's. And he went to one of those JonBenet Ramsey competitions, I think. Like, as the grandfather, he brought like a kid out and was like saying dirty things. It was pretty good. I mean, you know, it's one of those things like Jackass. You can watch it any part, and it's just like a little vignette.
It's good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. But by the way, CBS is doing a JonBenet docuseries. The JonBenet Ramsey crime.
This is like capitalizing on the OJ success?
Right, totally. They're trying to rip that off. But I don't care because the JonBenet Ramsey murder is like one of my all-time favorite murders.
Oh, really? I saw the house. Like, it's not far from where my sister lives in Boulder.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, she showed me the house. Just a regular house in the middle. I mean, probably pricey.
It's a massive house.
It's not. I mean, it's a big enough living space, but like it's a house in a nice neighborhood, but with neighbors not far away. Like, it's not like one of these places with mansions with a lot of space where shady. It's not like the Kennedy compound or something. It's, you know, it's just a nice house in a neighborhood.
Right. But, I'm excited. I think it starts in a couple weeks. I'm going to be watching.
See, I don't like that trial because I don't like looking at pictures of beauty contestants. That creeps me out.
You know, it's weird because I agree with you, especially since I've become a parent, and I don't know, I guess because she was so objectified that I don't really like think of her as a little child. And I know that's fucked up and callous of me because I think she was like 6 years old or something.
Right.
But I just don't – normally I can't do anything with any kind of child abuse or anything like that. It just – it's just too overwhelming for me. But with JonBenet, I guess I just have some sort of separation that I just don't really think of her as a little kid.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. You're able to move past that, and CBS is very happy for it.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Very exciting. Yeah.
Good for you.
Okay, Ed.
Yeah.
No breaking news. No fancy sauce today. Our very own fancy sauce has been called away on a project.
Oh.
Hopefully we'll have, I mean, she's in town, but she's just not on the premises. So hopefully we can get her next week. Oh. But luckily, I've curated some pop culture stories.
Let's do it.
So we can do our very own Baller Lifestyle pop culture segment, Fancy Pop. First, though, Ed, we have life coaching to do. Brian, Ed, and Kate, a little life coaching. This is right up our alley, Ed.
Okay.
My wife and I are expecting our first kid. I know. And we've been trying to put a list of names together. Issue is, we disagree on just about every name. Ed, Brian, how did you guys do it? My wife is not throwing out names like Ashlyn, Brielle, Chad, etc. But how did you guys finally agree on names? Should I just not care that much? Further, he goes on, Ed, I moved to Maryland about 6 months ago, and Jesus Christ, the old bay.
You'd send me that. And I laughed hard when I saw it. Yeah, I got to college, and they were put, like within a few days of being in college, they're putting fucking Old Bay on everything. Oh, Old Bay flavored chips, Old Bay this, Old Bay on your popcorn. It's like, Jesus, it's fucking just like some crab spice, like... Let's calm the fuck down on the Old Bay.
It's like a powder, right? Like you put it in soup and shit. Yeah. You put it in your chowder.
Yeah, I was floored by that. And I think you do this a little bit in California. In Maryland, they all talk counties. Like, and you talk that. Like you say,
right.
I'm from Orange County or this or that.
That's
like,
right, yeah.
For me, I'm from Hoboken. I never say I'm in Hudson County. In Maryland, they would just say, oh, I'm from this county. And it's like, all right, great. Well, why aren't we talking about this town? Like, just,
yeah.
So that's kind of a weird thing that, like, Maryland and they love their fucking flag. They love that race car looking
flag. It's a great flag.
It's a cool. I mean, New Jersey's flag is like some chick with a scale. So it's a pretty terrible flag. But as good as Maryland is, like, I got to the dorms and like maybe half my floor were hanging up the state flag everywhere. It's like, hey, guys, you went to the University of Maryland. Like, you're already there. There's flags everywhere. Like, what's going on? It's one thing if you move to Russia and you just want to show some hometown spirit or something.
That is a little weird.
It's weird. They're way into the flag, way into Old Bay, and way into talking about their counties.
Also, now it's all over your football uniforms, so it looks like you're the Frankfurt Knights or something out there.
Yeah.
It's from the World League, the Sacramento Burn.
I love my Terps, but I do not like any sports franchise that doesn't have a plural nickname.
Right. Yes. Also, the Terps are – I've heard a rumor that they're in the Big Ten now. Can you confirm that?
I think this is season 3.
What?
Yeah. I think it's season –
The Terps are in the Big Ten.
It's season 3.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they took them and Rutgers because they wanted to get East Coast television markets. I mean, DC. The funny thing is, like, Terps, when they're good, the DC market will rally around. Like, people will be into the Terps. But Rutgers, like, when they were good, they're still
they're
like,
only
they
good
don't,
for like
they don't
two seasons.
New York City, they just don't give a shit about college sports.
They don't.
I wish they did, like, because I'll go to a bar and it'll be like when college football's starting to get good, and it'll be like LSU, Alabama will be on, and it'll be like the Yankees, who are out of the playoffs, are playing against, you know, the Rays in the last game of the series, and that'll be on all of the TVs. Like, they don't care about college sports here.
Right. That's unfortunate. Yeah. As to the naming issue, back to the subject at hand here, the naming issue, it's real simple. Get out the – go to the Social Security website and pick a year before, like, 1995. Any year that you want prior to the mid-90s, and it'll list the top 100 most popular names for both boys and girls in that year. Mm-hmm. By the way, Brian – in the top 10 from 1968 to 1983.
Yeah, I've always known a lot of Brians.
It's the least. I mean, if you were born in the 70s.
With an I, not Y.
Yeah, of course not. You had a good chance of being named Brian. Just pick an actual name.
If you were born in the 19 teens or 20s, your name might be Ed. Edward.
Edward. That's exactly right.
with what I did with names, it may be cheesy or corny. I remember just going through books and movies, like characters I liked, and then just writing them down. And, like, obviously I'm not naming my kid Han Solo, so, like, that gets X'd out. But then I just found a couple names from, like, characters I liked.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it went. But, yeah.
I was one for one on names with my kids. I mean, they're both fine. They're both actual names that my kids have. There's no made up. There's no Brooklyns or Ashlands in my house. But there's one. There was one that I just lost a battle on. It wasn't my first choice. Okay, Ed.
Yeah.
Fancy pop. Let's talk about what is going on in the world of pop culture. Of course, we talked about R.I.P. Gene Wilder. Legend.
Yeah.
Just so many credits. Stir Crazy, The Frisco Kid.
I mean, seriously, just go back and watch. I watched Stir Crazy last night because I saw that he died. I was like, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to watch this. And I only plan on watching like maybe a half hour. And he is so good in that movie.
So good.
So good.
That of course, Willy Wonka. I saw something where he told the director when he appears in that movie for the first time, that thing where he like sticks his cane in a cobblestone and he rolls over and does a somersault, not ad-libbed, but just added in by Gene Wilder, where he's like, hey, I think this character needs to do this. And it totally sets up that character for the whole rest of the movie. He was just tremendous instincts, just a great and comedic.
One more quick story that's really good. Mel Brooks, I saw he was talking about Blazing Saddles, and he said he made Blazing Saddles. He had done two movies before. One of them was The Producers, which hadn't made shit. He said that movie never went south of the Mason-Dixon line. He really was just kind of maybe not going to make it in Hollywood. He gets Blazing Saddles. He writes it with Richard Pryor, and it's just starting to go, but, you know, he's got the main part to fill. He couldn't fill it with Richard Pryor, so he got Cleavon Little. But then he gets – he's got to have for the Waco Kid, he's got to get, you know, somebody to play the drunk, the alcoholic, you know, lawman or, you know, gunslinger. Yeah. He gets this guy named Gig Young, who's like an old old Western guy who actually happens to be an alcoholic. So he thought this guy could play it well.
Perfect. Yeah.
So the first scene where he's hanging upside down in jail and he goes, are we awake? And then he looks over and he goes, are we white or are we black? You know, that whole scene.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that
they film that first scene with Gig Young and they hang him upside down and then they take him down and then he gets out and he has the shakes. And he's like, wow, he's really playing the shit out of this part. Then he starts vomiting and screaming at everyone. And they're like, well, maybe I should have gotten a guy to play an alcoholic instead of an actual alcoholic. So anyway, he calls Gene Wilder because he's like out of options. And like he does not have like the clout that you would think Mel Brooks has now. And he says, you know, Gene, I need somebody to play this part. This is like the biggest part, the second biggest part in the movie. Gene Wilder goes, all right, I get me a script and I'll be there in the morning. And he said, like, he was fine. I never had to think about it. And then a couple years later, he, you know, he had the idea for Young Frankenstein. So he's like, that, I owe my career to Gene Wilder.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. That's a great story. Yeah. So RIP Gene Wilder. In other news, and this will come as a shock. This just happened. Chris Brown arrested for assault with a deadly weapon.
That's after not the Chris Brown I know.
After an 11-hour standoff with SWAT, what? Apparently some hoochie was at his house, and Chris Brown is apparently, he's wound a little tight. He's maybe some drug use, but when one of these hoochies complimented some of his jewelry, he pulled out a piece and threatened her with it. So the cops had to show up. And, it's just like, I feel like this is one we could turn the other cheek on. We could look the other way if maybe one of the SWAT snipers' gun was accidentally to go off.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. It could be like a situation like in Pulp Fiction where the gun just, it happened to go off and take off Marvin's head.
I don't feel like anybody would be calling for a federal civil rights investigation after that with Chris Brown.
He said he's just an amazing dancer, but like,
I've said that.
Oh, you are. But I'm clearly not plugged into the R&B world. Like, that's just not my thing.
But like, me either.
You would think there'd be some other people to take his place. I mean, I know of Usher, but he's older than Chris Brown. Like, there's got to be somebody to take his place because he doesn't seem even remotely redeeming in any way.
He's the worst. But he still has fans because America will forgive anything if you're good at dancing. Mm. Just like with Michael Jackson. Okay. And further in fancy pop, Ed, the Taylor Swift missed the VMAs because she had jury duty. Apparently, Taylor Swift is the only person that doesn't know you can just throw those things away when they come in the mail.
I did jury duty once.
Yeah. And so did I.
It was terrible because I came up with the excuse. Like, I had a valid excuse on why I couldn't. My wife was away on, it was going to be away for like 3 weeks and I had a newborn. It was something like that. And I was like, I cannot be here anymore. And the guy's like,
they don't give a fuck.
Well, how about babysitters? And I was like, well, I just don't have a babysitter on call for 9 till 5. And he goes, well, do you have any parents? Do you have any? And he asked me like 15 questions. I was like, I have nobody. Yeah. I have nobody. And he's like, I guess you're dismissed. But like, it took a lot of fighting to get out of that thing.
So I went to jury duty one time and I was like, they were doing a thing where they're like, okay, line up by alphabetically. And, I'm in the B. So they're like A through F line up. And I'm like, oh, they're going to start pulling people out. So I just just stayed in my chair and didn't get up. And they're like, okay, we know there's more of you. We're going to start calling you by name. So just go ahead and line up. And then like a couple more people would get up and I just stayed in my chair. But I was kind of swimming a little bit. Yeah, but then eventually they got enough people before I got up. And they're like, okay, the rest of you are dismissed. And I was like, yes. And then I got home, and then I went to work the next day, and this guy I worked with, his girlfriend was in law school. And so, obviously, she's a fucking expert. And he's like, where were you yesterday? I'm like, oh, dude, I had fucking jury duty. He's like, oh, no, you just throw that shit away. And I'm like, what? Can you do that? And he's like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend's in law school. She says just throw it away. And I'm like, okay. And
right, but we don't know if she's a D student in law school. We don't.
Well, this was like 15 years ago, and I've thrown every jury summons away since, and it hasn't come back to haunt me yet. So, hey, guys, don't report me on that shit, okay?
And also, when you go to jury duty, that's where you find out just how shitty a community you live in.
It's true.
Yeah, I like Hoboken. But if we'll go back to the counties, Hoboken's grouped in with a lot of towns that I wouldn't want to live. And it was a rough group. Not a lot of friendly faces. I had my head down the whole time.
Good idea. Keep the headphones on, bring a book. Right. I've advocated for this for many years. We need professional juries. Anybody that watched that OJ documentary and saw the level of intelligence of the people that were selected for that jury?
Of course.
We need this to be a professional occupation where people go to school and they become professional jurors, and then we don't pick juries anymore. The jury of your peers is a jury of professional jurors.
We don't have peers. I don't have a peer. You certainly don't have a peer. There's no peers. No. I don't want to be judged by fucking morons.
Imagine 12 shirtless guys in flat bills
and cool
with
rings.
Their fingers adorned with rings and their necks adorned with medallions trying to act cool, right. Trying to pretend right. like they're cool in the jury box. Right. Like, I don't think I could get a fair yeah. trial from those
I
guys.
I don't need a guy trying too hard.
It's exactly. I want professional jurors. Ed, R.I.P. another crushing loss.
No.
Mr. Fuji, famed.
Really?
WWF manager. As we've argued, or we've discussed many times on the show, we are adults, so we're not into wrestling.
Of course not, but like you do know the iconic.
Right. I remember Mr. Fuji from when I was a little kid, from when it was appropriate to be aware of wrestling. I didn't realize. So Mr. Fuji was modeled after the Odd Job character from the James Bond.
Yes.
I'll be honest. It was only until today, I thought it was the same dude.
Oh, come on, dude. Mr. Fuji, I'm looking at the picture now. Yeah, I mean, I guess I probably thought the same thing, but Mr. Fuji wasn't that big, and he's very, I mean, I'm looking at where he was born. He looks very Hawaiian. He doesn't look...
I wasn't a huge wrestling fan.
Always a baller way to go out. He died in Clarksville, Tennessee. That's not a very Mr. Fuji type of way to go.
It is not. It is agreed. I don't know when Odd Job kicked off, but not the same dude.
Odd Job was very hefty, and Goldfinger was like mid or to early to mid 60s. So Odd Job probably did not see our birth, the year of our birth.
Also, I think I made a tweet about this. How about that? The bad guy from Moonraker looking exactly like modern day Quentin Tarantino. Like
Richard Kiel. Yes. Yeah. He's got that same hairline, like really trying hard to make it work. And when you're Richard Kiel, it's weird that you would even bother doing anything with your hair when you get up in the morning. You're supposed to just be like Mountain Man, like not shave ever. Like this, it's really there's not a lot of upside in really putting any effort into your look.
Yeah, I mean you've got gigantism anyway, so like what are you really gonna do to make
yourself?
You could be a
motivational speaker like Tony Robbins.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
But one thing about while you're talking about Odd Job, you remember Austin Powers had. Like the ripoff, like they were just making fun of Odd Job, and they had a random task. He had a guy that was the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, I read a story about him like a year ago.
Yeah.
That dude is in jail for murder and like murdered his cellmate. I think he's going to be executed. Like that guy turned out to be a full on monster.
Well, actually, I know about that because he's in Orange County. He did it.
Orange County. He's not from any town, just the county in general.
It was Huntington Beach. He committed a rape in like the early 90s in Huntington Beach, and they got him on DNA. Like then later he got like a DUI or he got in a bar fight or something and got arrested, and they swabbed his DNA and matched it to the original crime that he did. So he went to prison, and then he was in prison, and then one day they were like went to open the cells, and his cellmate was just dead. And they're like, hey, do you know anything about this? He's like strangled, and he's like, nah, I'm not sure. I was just sitting here. But yeah, that random task is a very bad guy.
I felt for the most clickbait story of all. It said, Austin Powers star arrested for murder. So I'm thinking like maybe it's Robert Wagner or something.
Yeah, and
it
was Natalie Wood.
Yeah. What kind of wood doesn't float? Natalie Wood. But yeah, but it turned out to be random task.
Who brings Christopher Walken on an overnight on your yacht?
It's an aggressive
move. I'm just saying.
You know who does it? A guy who's trying to frame somebody else for murder.
Right. That's right. That's a good point.
Heart to heart, and when they met, it was murder.
Yes, yep. Max.
Like, Bob Wagner definitely killed her, and she was a piece of ass.
Yeah. Really hot. Really hot. Couldn't swim.
No, no.
What was she doing out on a boat if she couldn't? She was in the harbor, moored.
Seems like a weird move to go on a boat. I would be like, you know what? I'm rich and famous and beautiful. I'm not going on that boat.
Yes, of course not. Okay, here's another one, Ed. Charlie Sheen's two ex-wives are having to suck it up and accept reduced child support, Ed. This Charlie Sheen, who seems like the picture of stability, minus the HIV positive, he's not making the $2 million an episode he was pulling for that Two and a Half Men.
Right.
So he's had to go to court and ask to pay a little less child support. Both these ex-wives were pulling a robust 55 large a month each.
Whoa.
55 grand a month. And unfortunately, Charlie's not able to keep that up. So now these two are just going to have to settle for a paltry 25 large each per month.
That is amazing. It's so drastically reduced, and they're still at that level.
Yes, yes.
And
they cut it by 60%.
And they got, I mean, I don't know how many years they got out of him, like the original numbers.
Right.
But like, wouldn't you think,
years. Right,
we better cut back on our expenses, because the guy that this is coming from could definitely die of an overdose any minute.
Totally. Well, that's, I you have to think that that's the plan. Like, I need to put this away because it could stop next month.
Right. But
because I used to be married to Charlie Sheen.
They probably both have seen what he's capable of putting into his body and not dying. So maybe they thought, right, like, this is the indestructible beast we've latched onto.
Yeah. Yeah. But the problem is he could give it all to some hooker that he meets in Vegas.
That's true. He's he's not stable.
He might be worth more to them dead.
Oh, wait.
Than alive.
Definitely.
Maybe they did that. Maybe they did the Suge Knight Eazy-E thing and injected him with the HIV themselves.
The important thing is that they're still in better shape than if they had married Emilio Estevez.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a great point. And lastly, Ed, the VMAs popped off this week. I was going to look for a list of whoever performed, but I probably don't know who any of them are. I did see this. Beyonce did a performance that lasted a robust 17 minutes.
What?
I am not a Beyonce fan. She's fine. If you're into her, that's cool. Whatever. All I'm saying is that if I am expected to sit through something that lasts 17 minutes, I had better come at the end.
17 minutes.
So long.
I mean, yeah, but I can't imagine I've ever hit double digits ever. Well, 7 minutes would be like, wow, I'm a stallion.
That's a long sesh for you.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta switch it up.
What do you mean switch?
Switch like.
I thought it was a race to the finish.
Okay, let's leave it at that. That is it. Episode 133 back in the books. What happened to the podcast? The podcast is here. Here we are. Episode 133.
The number 33. Steady Eddie Murray.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I'll go with Eddie Murray.
I mean, I liked him too. I liked Eddie Murray. finished up his career as a Dodger.
Tape on the fingers? No, he finished up his career as an Oriole, by the way.
Oh, he went back. Yeah. But he would have won a batting title as a Dodger, but that fucking Willie McGee
got traded
just after the All-Star break, but he had enough at bats to qualify for the batting title and edged out Eddie Murray by like 2 points.
I've never seen a guy who looked more in pain than Willie McGee. Just breathing, he looked in pain.
Yeah. He wasn't handsome.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, that'll do it for Ed Daly, for Fancy Sauce, who was out of pocket today. I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 133 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.